Asara, the festivity, Sampravrita, commenced. Gopi Mandala, by the circle of gopis, Mandita, decorated, Yoga, of mystic power. Ishvarena, by the Supreme Controller. Krishnena, Lord Krishna. Tasam, of them. Madhye, within the midst. Dwayo, Dwayo, between each pier. Parishtena, present. Grihitana, who were held. Kante, by the necks. Swanikatam, next to themselves. Striya, the women. Yam, whom. Manyeran, consider. Nabha, the sky. Tavat, at that time. Vimana, of airplanes. Shata, with hundreds. Sankulam, crowded. Diva, of the heavenly planets. Okasam, belonging to the inhabitants. Sa, accompanied. Dharanam, by their wives. Autsukya, by eagerness. Aparita, carried away. Atmanam, their minds. Translation. The festive rasa dance commenced with the gopis arrayed in a circle. Lord Krishna expanded himself and entered between each pair of gopis, and as that master of mystic power placed his arms around their necks, each girl thought he was standing next to her alone. The demigods and their wives were overwhelmed with eagerness to witness the rasa dance, and they soon crowded the sky with their hundreds of celestial airplanes. We'll read the purport shortly. Let us just read the other verses in between. Plus, we'll read the chapter introduction. So we go back to chapter 32, the reunion, verses 21 and 22. Evam mad arto jita lokaveda swanam hivo mai yanuvrittaye bala maya paroksham vajatati rohitam masuyatum marhata tapriyam priya. My dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion of the Vedas and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings toward me, your beloved. And there's short purport here. Here the Lord indicates that though the gopis were already perfect in their love for him, still to inconceivably increase their perfection and show an example for the world, he acted as he did. 22. Na pare ham niravajya samyujam susadu krityam vibhudayusap shapiva yam abhajan durjara geha shrinkala samvrishya tadva pratiyatu sadhuna. I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are very difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. Purport. The translation and word meanings for this verse are taken from Srila Prabhupada's English rendering of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Leela chapter 4 verse 180. In conclusion, the gopis became eternally glorious by their behavior in the Lord's temporary absence, and the mutual love between them and the Lord was wonderfully enhanced. This is the perfection of Krishna and his loving devotees. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada to the 10th canto, 32nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Reunion. So chapter 33, the Rasa Dance, and we will read the chapter introduction. This chapter describes Lord Sri Krishna's Rasa Dance, which he enjoyed with his beloved girlfriends in the forests along the Yamuna River. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Sri Krishna is most expert in the knowledge of transcendental moods. In the company of the gopis, who were tightly bound to him by the ropes of affection and totally dedicated to his service, the Lord expanded himself into numerous forms. The gopis became intoxicated with their enthusiasm to enjoy the rasa dance, and thus they began satisfying Krishna's senses by singing, dancing, and gesturing amorously. The sweet voices of the gopis filled all the directions. Even after Lord Krishna manifested himself in numerous forms, each gopi thought he was standing next to her alone. Gradually the gopis became fatigued from the continuous dancing and singing, and each of them placed her arm on the shoulder of the Krishna standing beside her. Some gopis smelled and kissed Krishna's arm, which bore the fragrance of the lotus and was anointed with sandalwood paste. Others put Krishna's hand on their bodies, and yet others gave Krishna pleasure by embracing him lovingly. Lord Krishna, being the Supreme Absolute Truth, is the only actual enjoyer and object of enjoyment. Although he is one without a second, he expands himself into many forms to increase his personal pastimes. Therefore, great scholars say that Krishna's Rasa Leela is like a child's playing with his own reflection. Sri Krishna is self-satisfied and fully endowed with inconceivable transcendental opulences. When he exhibits such pastimes as the Rasa Leela, all living beings from Brahma down to the blades of grass become merged in the ocean of astonishment. When Maharaj Parikshit heard the narration of Krishna's conjugal pastimes with the gopis, which superficially resembled the activities of lusty, wanton persons, he expressed a doubt to the great devotee Srila Shukadev Goswami. Shukadev dispelled this doubt by stating, "Since Sri Krishna is the absolute enjoyer, such pastimes as these can never be contaminated by any fault. But if anyone other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead tries to enjoy such pastimes, he will suffer the same fate that someone other than Lord Rudra would suffer if he attempted to drink an ocean of poison. Moreover, even one who only thinks of imitating Lord Krishna's Rasa Leela will certainly suffer misfortune." The Supreme Absolute Truth, Sri Krishna, is present within the hearts of all living entities as their indwelling witness. When, out of His mercy, He exhibits His intimate pastimes to His devotees, these activities are never besmirched by mundane imperfection. Any living being who hears of the spontaneous loving attraction the gopis felt for Lord Krishna will have his desires for material sense gratification destroyed at the root, and will develop his natural propensity for serving the Supreme Lord, the spiritual master, and the Lord's devotees. So, chapter 1 and, verse 1 and verse 2, it's all right. Sri Shuka Uvacha. Itam Bhagavato Gopya Shrutva Vacha Supeshana Jahur Virahajam Tapam Tadango Pachitashisha. Shukadev Goswami said, when the cowherd girls heard the Supreme Personality of Godhead speak these most charming words, they forgot their distress caused by separation from him. Touching his transcendental limbs, they felt all their desires fulfilled. And verse 2. Tetraravata Govindo Rasakridam Anuvrata Sri Ratnayar Anvita Pritayar Anyonya Badabahubi. There on the Yamuna's banks, Lord Govinda then began the pastime of the Rasa dance in the company of those jewels among women, the faithful gopis, who joyfully link their arms together. Rasotsava sampravrito gopi mandala mandita yogeshvarena krishnena tasa madhye dvayo dvayo pravishtena grihita nam kante swa nikatam striya yam man yeran nabastavad vimana shata sankulam divokasam sadaranam Autsukya paritatmana. The festive rasa dance commenced, with the gopis arrayed in a circle. Lord Krishna expanded himself and entered between each pair of gopis, and as that master of mystic power placed his arms around their necks, each girl thought he was standing next to her alone. The demigods and their wives were overwhelmed with eagerness to witness the rasa dance, and they soon crowded the sky with their hundreds of celestial airplanes. Purport. Srila Bilvamangal Thakur has written the following verse about the rasa dance. Angana mangana mantara madhavo madhavam madhavam chantare nangana itam akalpite mandale madhyaga sanjago venuna devaki nandana. Lord Madhava was situated between each pair of gopis, and a gopi was situated between each pair of his manifestations. And Sri Krishna, the son of Devaki, also appeared in the middle of the circle, playing upon his flute and singing. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that the gopis, maddened by love, were unable to understand that Sri Krishna had expanded himself so he could personally dance with each of them. Each gopi saw one manifestation of Krishna. The demigods and their wives, however, could see all his different manifestations as they watched the rasa dance from their airplanes, and thus they were completely astonished. Gyana Tarandasya Gyananjana Shalaka Chakshulutam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stakitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swayam Tantika Vajkapa Charubhya Stakripa Sindhubhya Eva Chopati Dhanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavibhya Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadadha Shiva Sri Gora Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. So, yes, a number of different subjects have been raised. First thing we could just mention is that the last verse of the previous chapter which we read, Na pare na paraye ham niravadya sam yujam. This is a very famous verse. It's quoted by our acharyas from time to time, a number of them. This is, for example, let's see, oh yeah, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there's the discussion of the Rath Yatra, 12th or 13th chapter, 13th chapter, is it, of Madhya Lila, Rath Yatra, 13th. So there is the elaborate description of Lord Chaitanya dancing in the Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri, very spectacular description. And then after the description, in the same chapter, but after the description of what happened, then there is an analysis of what it all meant, what Lord Chaitanya was going into different moods and saying different things and manifesting different emotions, quite different situations. So what was it all about? So that is described elaborately there at the end, towards the end of that chapter of the Madhya Lila, chapter 13. And the description is there that actually that Rath Yatra festival is a reenactment of the pastime of Krishna returning to Vrindavan on the request and even by the force of particularly the gopis, who wanted him to come back, seeing he had been away such a long time. So in that description there, then various verses are quoted in which Radharani and Lord Krishna, before they take Krishna on the path back to Vrindavan, first of all, Radharani and Krishna discuss the situation. That Radharani says, "You left Vrindavan, everyone is devastated. Don't you feel anything for them? I mean, how do you feel about that? They may die because of you. What do you think of that?" Strong talk. So therefore you must come back so they won't die. Come back and save their lives. She's arguing with Krishna, trying to convince Krishna. And then Krishna says that actually, you know, I do come back. I actually come every day. I come every day. But you somehow, you just don't understand that this is going on. Because you think I've gone. When you see me, you think you're hallucinating. That it's not me. But I'm there every day. So like this, there's some discussion. And the basic mood is Radharani is appealing. Please come back, please come back. Don't leave us. I mean, you promised to come back, so don't break your promise. Don't just abandon us altogether. And then Krishna speaks, well, this verse then is quoted, that Lord Krishna says that, you know, I don't know what more I can do. I don't know what more I can do. I'm already doing what I can do to reciprocate and to show you that I care and express my feelings like this. So I don't know what to do. And then he speaks this verse, that I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. I cannot repay you. I cannot compensate you. You have done too much. I am now in debt to you. So therefore I cannot fulfill this desire of yours that I reciprocate fully, in your terms fully, because I'm already reciprocating fully in my own terms. So under these circumstances, I cannot do more for you. You will just have to be happy with your, the way you are. That's all. Just the way you are. You'll have to be, you'll just have to be satisfied with your own situation. Because I cannot do more. This is a very famous verse. And Krishna, of course, Krishna has said, Yayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mamavart marnavartante manusyapatha sarvisha. This famous verse in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that as they surrender to me, I reciprocate accordingly. But the gopis, they, their service to Krishna, their surrender to Krishna, their love for Krishna was so vast that when Krishna looked at that, then he could see, I cannot reciprocate accordingly. I can reciprocate as much as I can, but it will not be sufficient to really match the value of what you're doing for me. So therefore you'll just have to be happy as you are. Let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. This is a very famous verse, and it appears here and there. Jiva Goswami quotes it on a number of occasions, different places. Prabhupada makes reference here and there. And so on like this. So it's very important. And then, related point, from actually the 21, the verse immediately before that, is a very interesting point. Let me just read the verse again. My dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake you had rejected the authority of worldly opinion of the Vedas and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings toward me, your beloved. So it's a very interesting point. Why did Krishna do that? It was not just so he could have a joke. Sometimes people do something like that. They just make a joke at someone else's expense, just for a laugh. So it's not that Krishna, there he was with them, and they were enjoying so much, and suddenly just disappeared, just so he could look at them and laugh. Just see, I abandoned you, now you're bewildered, so this is now amusing me. No. Why did he disappear? It was not just a practical joke. Certainly he was not trying to hurt them. But as he himself says in the verse, he was trying to increase their attachment, their spotless attachment to him. That's all. So now, normally, you would only want to increase something which can be increased, which has room for being increased. The love of the gopis was already to the maximum. It was already on the topmost platform. And when something is on the topmost platform, then you cannot increase it. When a cup is full, you cannot make it more full. It'll simply overflow. But here, even though the gopis' hearts were full with the ultimate quantity of pure love for the Lord, and there was no space for pouring in more, but Krishna wanted to increase it. So he did like this, and it worked. Their love for him increased. So this is transcendental reality. Of course, we can understand easily how, on the material level, then you cannot do that. When something is full, it is full. And if you want more in a container, you have to get a bigger container. But this is not what happened here. That their hearts expanded, their love expanded, so therefore the quantity increased. So normally we might think that Krishna might do something like that, put pressure on someone to increase. You know, just like when you go to school, there are different theories, but one theory is that you should not give the children tests and marks and make it competitive who came first and give them the first prize and all this type of thing. You should not do that, because the ones who don't do so well, they may become, you know, get some complex or become disappointed and so on, distressed. So therefore, we won't do it like that. But at the same time, so we will just, you know, just tell everyone, just do your best. When we teach in the VIHE, they often ask, are we going to have a test? And if we say no, then they breathe a sigh of relief. They don't want a test. But our experience is that in many, many cases, when there is a test, that makes everyone focus more and really work harder and absorb more and be more careful and attentive and do better. And in that way, come out better educated. The end result is improved. Otherwise, it becomes just a pastime. Yes. We are studying this, very good. But we don't really care so much to really give it rapt attention and work hard to understand and assimilate and so on. So Krishna's philosophy is, don't just wait for them to increase their love themselves. Put some pressure on them. And in that way they may feel that, oh, I have to do something here. I have to do more. Rather than, yes, I will try my best. That sort of approach. So Krishna's philosophy is, put a bit of pressure on from time to time. Put the squeeze on. So the devotees then feel that, oh, I must do better. I have to do more. I have to work harder. This appears to be Krishna's philosophy. So we would perhaps then, so accepting that point, we might then think that, all right, so Krishna will do that with people like us who have a long way to go. We need a bit of pressure. Otherwise, we may think that we have come far enough. We're already doing our best. We cannot go further. But we need to go much further. So we might think that, all right then, Krishna, to stop us becoming complacent and just sort of, you know, giving up the forward momentum, giving it up at a lower level, we might think that, all right, then Krishna will put pressure on us. You know, Srila Prabhupada spoke about he said, talked about jackfruit. Probably we all know jackfruit, very big, big, hefty fruit. And normally the jackfruit grows on the tree and grows, and eventually when it's big like this, then it's ripe and then it can be utilized. But Srila Prabhupada talked about that there is a kaccha jackfruit. Kaccha jackfruit means a bad jackfruit. A bad jackfruit. That jackfruit is this size compared to the normal big jackfruit. It's small. But that jackfruit is already completely ripe. If you leave it on the tree, it is not that it's going to expand and expand. It has already become as big as it's going to become. Next thing is it's just going to fall off. But the thing is that when it is this size, you cannot use it. It's too small. You cannot use it. So therefore that kaccha jackfruit just thrown away or neglected, just left. Nobody cares. It's of no use. So similarly, some devotee practicing, doing some Krishna consciousness one way or another, may feel that, now, yes, I have progressed. Now I am advanced, very good. So I will just stay on this level because this is very good. I've done fine. And that idea that we need to keep going further and further and develop more and more, develop more attachment for Krishna, develop more service to Krishna, become more free from material existence, all these things, more, then that person thinks, no, I'm already there, it's all right. But to avoid that, Krishna puts pressure. Sometimes some test is there. Sometimes some test is there. Therefore, we should accept and we should be ready, at least in principle, that every day in Krishna consciousness, there will be some excitement. Never a dull moment. There's only dull moments if we become dull. And if we become dull, then we just miss what is really going on, the excitement and all the nice things. Yes. So, fasten your seatbelts. Those of you who are trying to be serious about Krishna consciousness, fasten your seatbelts. Be ready for an exciting ride. Do not expect that you will just sit back and be the Swami and just relax. And everything will just be nice, nice, nice. And you will eat nicely and take rest nicely and do a bit of chanting. No, be ready for action. Be ready for things to happen. Yeah, it's like that. Because Krishna is not complacent. And Krishna will not tolerate his devotees becoming complacent. Therefore, as we said, it is part of his policy, his approach. Part of his approach is sometimes put some pressure. So, as I said, we could expect that with people like ourselves who have a long way to go. But what about those who are perfect, actually? What about those who are beyond imperfection, beyond shortcoming, who have no need to improve? What about them? They should not be under pressure. They should not be being tested. They should just be able to love Krishna and be happy. But no, we see here the topmost of all the topmost devotees, the gopis, Krishna put them under pressure. And it was quite severe. They really felt very, very pressured. And it became a very dramatic experience for them. Anyway, that's one point that comes out. Then, that's from the end of the previous chapter. Then now, coming on to this chapter. Interesting point. That the gopis, they were dancing with Krishna. And Krishna expanded himself so there was one for each gopi. One of him for each gopi. But, due to the influence of yoga maya, they didn't see that. They thought, each one of them thought, that it's just me and Krishna. That's all. So in this way, they felt that we, you know, I got this special, special mercy. Nobody else got. I am the most fortunate woman. I am the most fortunate living entity in existence. Because I got Krishna alone. Nobody else got him, I got him. But actually, it wasn't really true. All the other gopis got him also. But they didn't see that. So it heightened their excitement, this sort of feeling of transcendental exclusivity. Heightened their excitement. But the demigods and demigodesses who were watching from above, they saw it. They saw, oh look, look what Krishna did. One moment there was one Krishna who had been hiding, but then he came out. Then the next moment there are many, many Krishnas. And dancing each one with each gopi. So their whole experience, they were also experiencing the rasa dance. But their whole experience was very different. And of course, naturally, they were completely astonished. They were completely astonished to see Krishna do that. Just imagine. Here we are sitting in the class. There's Bhakta Bongani. And just imagine if Bhakta Bongani walks in through the door. That he's already sitting in class. And then another Bhakta Bongani walks in through the door. And suddenly there's a whole room of Bhakta Bonganis. We would be so astonished, wouldn't we? Oh, that would be something stupendous. So the demigods and demigodesses, they saw there's one Krishna, okay. Suddenly there's many, many Krishnas. Oh, how amazing. But the gopis, because they were on a different platform, they're all on different levels. At least two different levels. The demigods, they're on a certain level, then the gopis are on another level. So because of these different levels, they're perceiving things differently. And you might think, someone might think, oh, the gopis, they were in ignorance. They couldn't see the truth. And they became proud because they were ignorant. Actually, there were many Krishnas with each gopi, one with each gopi. But they were ignorant, so they couldn't see that. And because they are ignorant, they became proud. They were in maya. They became proud. But the demigods and demigodesses, they could see there were many Krishnas. So they understood. So they were not in ignorance. They were not in maya. They understood things as they were. So we might think that the demigods and their wives were doing better than the gopis. Because they could see reality, but the gopis were in tamagun. Or something, rajagun, tamagun, some sort of position like that. But of course that is not the case. Actually the gopis are on a much higher level than the demigods and their wives. Because the demigods and their wives, they're not doing too bad. We have not seen the rasa dance. They got to see the rasa dance. That's quite something. But still, they're on a much lower level than the gopis. And therefore their mood is astonishment. They're impressed. Look at Krishna. Krishna is so amazing. He's so powerful. He is such a big mystic. They're thinking like that. They're impressed. They're in a mood of awe and reverence. Oh, Krishna, look how he expanded himself. Oh, we worship Krishna because he expanded himself. So their mood is one of awe and reverence. Whereas the gopis, the mood is simply pure love. Simply pure love. The feeling is much higher. And therefore their ignorance, apparent ignorance, their apparent maya, this is yoga maya. This is not maha maya. Just some stupid illusion. It is not that. But it is yoga maya. It is a type of illusion. But a type of illusion which brings them closer to Krishna, makes them more Krishna conscious, brings them to a higher level of devotional service and a higher level of pure love for the Lord. So it's like this. It's like this. Actually, the gopis are on a higher level, even though it appears that the demigods and their wives are more aware of the reality. Any comments or questions? Yes.
Just one thing. I hope it's not too long because I didn't understand your analogy about the jackfruit, the Katya jackfruit. It's bad, it's small.
Because it's so small, it's not properly developed.
Yeah.
And you can't really use it. Yeah. It's like, you know, you get an apple. And some, or a grape, you know, some, these fruits sometimes, you, and it's just little, funny little things, you know, yeah.
But you can sort of eat it, but it's just like not.
Well, they don't because it's not nice.
They're throwing them away.
They just throw it away, or just leave it to fall.
What's the meaning of the word
besmirch? Oh, besmirch. Yeah, right. I thought it was a unusual choice of words. It is sort of like, I don't know if it's really archaic, but it is, it means dirtied. Yeah. It means dirty, basically. Yeah, it's a quaint way of saying dirty. Yeah. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, okay.
Well,
yeah, see, like in the Govardhan Leela, Krishna did not want to tell Nanda Maharaj that, look, don't worship demigods, worship me, because I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although that was the point. But he didn't want to say it like that, and expose the fact that he's the Supreme Lord, which would then affect the sweetness of the loving relationships, because then they'd all be very in awe and reverence. So therefore he spoke karma mimamsa, which is an untrue philosophy. It's a speculative philosophy. It's not a fact. To hide, to convince Nanda Maharaj, to bring him to the point of worshipping Govardhan Hill, but without having to say that I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So anyway, that happens in so many places. Then, you know, there are different suggestions. Although the Bhagavatam says quite specifically that Krishna expanded himself. But some acharya, I don't know who it is, says, I can't remember who it is, says that it may have been, or like sometimes Krishna may do like that. He may dance so quickly that he's moving around all of them, but so quickly that he seems to be with all of them at the same time, just like, you know, like the examples given of Lord Chaitanya dancing like a firebrand. If you have a stick with fire and you twirl it, then it looks like there's a circle of fire rather than a fire which is moving. It looks like there is a circular object of fire. So one of the acharyas said that it was like that, or sometimes he may do like that. But here the Bhagavatam says, quite literally and specifically, he expanded himself. He was with each one simultaneously. The demigods saw it, that he was actually with each one simultaneously. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.